screen.
This is like a tight screen.
Is it really?
Yeah.
First of all, this is great.
Many interviews podcast. Would never have podcast.
Yeah. Well, that was super close to my face.
Yeah, it was also weak.
Yeah.
That's better clap, so much man. Better. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Indiana Success Happy Hour. Brian Quinlan here from Daniels Real Estate.
Hey, Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group.
I got to say, the podcast is looking better today. We have not had a lot of female guests on the show. So, guest, welcome. You are one of a few that have been on the show. Please tell the folks at home who you are.
I will. My name is Morgan McLean. I'm currently an Indianapolis Colts cheerleader and a former student of Mr. Quinlan here.
Mr. Quinlan. That's great.
We haven't talked about you being a teacher. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't talked about me being a teacher in a while. You are correct.
Used to be mention it all the time.
Used to be a recurring thing. We made this drinking game that no one plays.
Oh, that's funny.
Fred just took a drink.
There you go. Thanks, Fred. Yeah, so Morgan, back in the day, so you said are you okay sharing your age? You're young enough, right? Okay.
I'm 23.
Being 23, I had Morgan in class 11 years ago.
Sixth grade.
Whew, that was a while.
Nah.
You're a tall drink of water now. You were still tall even as a sixth grader. So like your whole life. Well, Morgan, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
This is a pleasure. I was very excited and thought about this today that you are the first former student of mine to be on the podcast.
That's fun.
And actually maybe my first former student that Brad has gotten to meet.
Not even close to loan for one.
Oh, never mind. That is correct.
But here's what I need. If you look at the screen right now, you're the shortest person here.
I'm not even sitting up straight.
Oh,
that's sad.
Because I give you a shorter chair.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You always attempt to make me shorter. Anyway, Brad, I see tequila. What are you drinking today, buddy?
The Partida Añejo.
All right.
It was sent to me in a really cool Dia de los Muertos box. Whole celebration. It was really cool. I did a video of it yesterday. It has, you know, all of the things that you use to make your altar at home and to honor your family members that have passed. And this is just a fantastic tequila. Tony and I have actually drank these añejos out of the barrels there.
Whoa, hey, all tequila. Right. Fresh.
Yeah, this is good stuff. So I thought I'd have it tonight and celebrate a little Colts and Colts cheerleading.
What excellent.
What do you got there, Brian?
We're drinking, it says Tiger Mountain Helles Lager. Apparently it's Maplewood out of Normal, Illinois, which I always find to be a funny name for the city. It's like the smallest little town in Illinois. And you ever been to Normal?
I have not, but you know, I feel like I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's connected. It's Bloomington Normal.
Correct. I believe Illinois State University is there, or pretty darn close.
Yeah. Bloomington Normal, Illinois. It is either a very way. Small place.
It they is a small. Well, not that small, apparently. And Morgan, you've got Coca-Cola, I believe.
Do.
All right.
Delicious Coca-Cola. Well,
once again, thanks for being here. First of all, Brad, here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers to you, buddy. Morgan, bring Cheers. It on in. Cheers to you.
I like that cup you got, Morgan.
Thanks.
Got a little Nest Mortgage Group on there.
All right. Morgan, let's see. Since you were in my sixth grade class, you've done a lot.
Yes.
So we're going to skip through the middle school and high school years because you were at IU,
yes.
Which I did not wear the IU sweatshirt today. It's for the next episode, but
I should have wore a Colts shirt. I
haven't. Yeah, for real. Anyway, you did something pretty cool at IU.
I danced there. Yes, I did. I was a Red Stepper. That was the dance team there for 4 years and a captain for two of those years. So,
what does it take to go from being a high school dancer, where I know I saw you on the dance team at CG, to getting into being a Red Stepper?
Yes. So I was very, very fortunate at Center Grove. One of our assistant coaches was a former Colts cheerleader.
Okay.
So at the current time, when I was like a junior, there was a different coach for the IU Red Stepper dance team. And it just wasn't necessarily the team I wanted to try out for. I knew I wanted to go to IU, but I was like, I don't know if that's the team for me. Like, looks like I probably won't dance in college. And then my Center Grove coach, she was like, hey, like my senior year of high school, she's like, hey, I think you really should look into IU again. She's like, they just got a new coach. She's a former Colts cheerleader that I danced with. Mm-hmm. And she was like, and I can imagine the amazing things she's going to do for the program. So just like go to a prep class, try it out. Tell me what you think. So I went with my best friend in high school at the time. And like the second we stepped in, we were like, oh my gosh, like we have to try out for this team. Like this would be amazing. Like this seems like it would be such a fun team, a fun atmosphere to be a part of. So we auditioned and obviously very nerve wracking. That was also COVID. So my senior year of high school was COVID. So we auditioned online. Everything was virtual. My entire like first year of college was like virtual with masks. We didn't have any football games to dance to be a part of, no bummer. Basketball games to. So that was a little bit of a bummer. But I was very fortunate that I had amazing training growing up dancing at a studio and having all those connections at Center Grove that really allowed for me to, you know, kind of know the Red Stepper style that I was going to get into and train that way. And prepare.
We need to give a shout out to your studio.
Yeah, Stage One Dance Academy is where all I grew up dancing. And then Vanessa, now Oaks, was my dance team coach.
Just completely different dancing than what I did when I was at IU.
And you were just visiting IU.
No, I lived at a frat.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't go to college, but I lived at the Kai-Fi house.
Did I know that?
I would hope not. So. Oh, yeah. I lived at the Kai-Fi house. My buddy was the president. There were no apartments when I moved there, so a keg of beer a week was my rent. And I worked for a construction company. And yeah, I was on the alumni wall with my pictures. I had a pledge. I had all that.
Are you still on the wall?
No, the
shirt and tie.
That frat is no longer there.
I was going to say, I don't know if Kai-Fi
lost their, they lost their charter. It was the,
I don't know why.
When you cross Second Street and you go down the hill.
Yes.
And it was the very first fraternity right in the corner. That was Kai-Fi back in the day. Huh. And yeah, I lived there until I got an apartment.
How about that?
Yeah. So
all right.
I went to IU without going to IU.
So let me see. You first year COVID. Second year normal. Was that the year IU football was good with Michael Penix, or was that the COVID year?
No, COVID year was. Oh. COVID year was the Penn State game.
Yeah,
that was COVID year. I had COVID during that game.
Oh, good.
So I was quarantined at home in my basement.
Perfect.
Like, woohoo, with the TV, because I'm missing like the biggest game of my college career because I was at home because I had COVID.
Oh.
So yes. Different now. You just came and sat next to me.
That's true. I'd COVID about a month ago and just sat here with Brad.
Back in the day, whatever. We were like sent to our basement. Brian has it. He's like, hey, dude, let's do a podcast.
We
can
made
we share
out.
Mics.
Yeah, we were COVID tested. I think it was at some point bi-weekly because we were in the dorms.
Oh, I bet. So yeah.
It was crazy.
So then your first year of actually red stepping in the stadium, they were still decent. And had gained popularity.
Yes.
Probably some of the largest crowds you danced in front of at that time of your life.
Yes. They weren't the most loyal fans. You know, after halftime, it was normally that it would be pretty empty considering we still weren't winning a ton of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We never went to a bowl game in my career.
Oh.
Never made it.
So none of the time you were there, it wasn't any
of
the good.
No, it was not what it was now.
You were at the normal time.
Yes. Okay. The normal times where we would have our few good wins against nobody schools.
Yeah.
And then any Big Ten school, it was like, oh, this is a rough game.
Yeah. So the IU basketball, hey, we have a football team.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So it was fun. Once we got rid of, once we moved on from football season, it was like basketball. Everyone was like, yes, basketball. So we were able to dance at a few basketball games.
I was going
to
ask, do the Steppers do much at basketball games?
So my freshman year, we didn't, it was COVID. So we didn't really do anything. But before the current coach, they didn't do any basketball games.
Oh.
But once I made the team, we started to do basketball games. We didn't, not until my senior year, we didn't do every game. But we would do a few big half times here and there, whether it was like, I think UNC was a big one. We did UK, obviously Purdue. So those are always the big ones that we normally danced at.
No, never mind.
So are the Red Steppers more like the Pacemates versus the Colts cheerleaders?
I would say we're more similar to Colts cheer.
Okay.
Yeah, our style is very similar considering my coach was a former Colts cheerleader. So definitely a very similar style. But then we also compete. So we have those technical aspects.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So you would go to like all the nationals and compete against all the other cheerleaders.
So we went to nationals. We did virtual nationals my sophomore year.
Woo.
We won. I mean, Virtual nationals, we won.
You got a real ring, right?
My sophomore year, we went, but I had knee surgery, so I didn't compete. And then my senior year, we went, and we won. So
very cool.
That was easily one of the highlights of my career in college.
So I'm going to say you probably also got a degree while you were IU.
I did. I majored in exercise science with a focus in pre-occupational therapy. And then I also minored in American Sign Language and psychology.
And can you help an old guy with a sore knee?
I mean, you know, ask me in one more year once I graduate from OT school, and I absolutely can.
This large knee brace on right now.
Old guy with a sore knee right in between us.
Can you fix a meniscus tear without surgery?
Well, Morgan. I fixed my meniscus twice with surgery.
Oh, without surgery. We need without.
Yeah.
I got to run a marathon.
Without surgery.
In 59
sounds,
days.
59 days. Rough. He's running a full marathon.
Maybe a lot of ibuprofen.
That's great. Thank you so much, Morgan.
Smarter than what I said. I said tequila and mustard.
Well, there's that. I mean... So as a Red Stepper during school, what is your schedule like?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's very tough, and it, you know, maybe at some points wasn't the easiest, but I always say it's nothing that we all weren't used to. We've all grown up dancing at studios or, you know, at our high schools, and it's the crazy schedule where you go from school from 8 to 3 p.m. and then you're at the studio from 3 to 10 p.m. So it's something that we're not used to. So we're Red Steppers. I think we practiced most of the time. It was like 4 or 5 days a week for like 2 or 3 hours. And it was like from 3 to 5 p.m. or something. But in college, your classes are so flexible. Your schedule is so flexible. You know, a lot of times I would like not have class on a Friday or not have class on a Tuesday. So in that way, it was a lot easier. Now there were a lot more like weekend things. And, you know, if there was a basketball game on a Tuesday night and you had an exam on a Wednesday, like that kind of sucked. But I think what's so special about being on a college dance team is that you're all in the same boat no matter what. Like you all have midterms at the exact same time. You are all deep studying, you know, trying to figure out when you're going to study when you have a game on Saturday at the same time. So I think that was easier. You really could rely on your teammates in that way. There was always someone that was in the same class as you or had the same major that you could rely on to study with or, you know, ask questions with. So I think in that aspect, it was a little bit easier. And it was also a class credit, so that was helpful.
Very nice.
it was 2 credits in the fall and 1 in the spring, so that helped our schedule a little bit. And then for the most part, our professors were always pretty understanding, knowing that like it is a commitment. We are you know, it is another class, so our absences would be excused for things like that. But not the hardest thing in the world.
All right. Did you see Trace much?
You know, not a ton, but I always said hi when I did. You know, I was always like, I know him. He knows me. I'm not being a weird fan.
That's right.
I was like, we go back.
You have to fill us in. Who's Trace?
Trace Jackson Davis, former Center Grove basketball player, Mr. Basketball, went to IU, All-American, now playing in the NBA.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Her brother played on the same basketball team with Trace back in high school.
Yes, yes.
You have to understand, I was a big IU basketball fan until Bobby Knight left.
And then, so it's been 25 years.
I moved away from Bloomington and I lost. Again, they went into that time frame where they didn't win for a long time. Yep. And I'm a bandwagon guy.
2002 and beyond. It was.
I am on the Colts bandwagon right now. Like I'm ringing the bell.
That's a great bandwagon to be on.
Honking the horn. Yeah.
All right.
Got to play good in November.
Good transition.
Yes.
So
thank you.
You're nearing end of college. Red Stepper days are coming to an end.
Yes.
And you're thinking of your next phase. And somehow the Colts opportunity comes about.
Yes.
Explain how that all came around.
I think from the time of like middle school, high school, I knew I wanted to be a Colts cheerleader. Again, I was just surrounded by a lot of women in my life that were amazing role models to me that happened to be former Colts cheerleaders. And they just always talked so highly of the program, so highly of the organization and their time on the team. And so I think I knew it was definitely something I wanted to do. Growing up doing studio dance, I loved dancing, but I never wanted to do it professionally. I was like, I love dancing, but maybe that's not for me. Until I joined the dance team in high school and I stepped foot on a football field and I was like, oh, this.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what I like. I was like, I like this way more than competing. I like the fan aspect and, you know, cheering on the team was always so much fun. So I think pretty much from that point on, I knew I wanted to try out for Colts. So all of senior year, you're going to prep classes, you're preparing for it, doing everything you can. And then you submit a video round for the first round of auditions and you're asked to come to finals, which happens to be about like a week and a half, 2 weeks long. the way the finals lined up my senior year. So we traveled to Daytona for nationals, and we were there from, I think we left on like a Tuesday. So we were there from Tuesday to Sunday, and then finals for Colts auditions started that Sunday.
Of course.
So, right. So we all, and of course there's so many teams that go to nationals. So it was any girls that were from Purdue, Ball State, Butler goes to a different circuit. But so all of those girls were flying home that Sunday and going straight to the Colts complex to start auditions.
Could you imagine the chatter on that plane?
To say that was the most stressful 5 days of my life, it absolutely was.
Was there dancing in the aisles on the plane as people were stretching?
There was I've never been more anxious in my life. And I do remember trying to compartmentalize it as much as I can, for one thing, this is my senior nationals. We ended up winning. It was the most amazing experience ever. We're running into the ocean with my 27 best friends. And then on the other hand, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start auditioning for what could be the rest of my life. What, if I don't make it, I pivot and I do something else, or, what is what I hope to become my dream of being a Colts cheerleader. So I was trying to switch on and off from that. And then we do a fitness test, which is some portion of a HIIT cardio workout. However many pushups you can do. And
how many could you do?
I don't remember. Not that many. 40-ish.
Not that many? You just said 40?
I was literally going to say, is it more than 4? Because I couldn't be on the team.
Holy moly.
You said 40?
I don't remember, but I think your goal is 40 push-ups, 60 sit-ups.
What time span?
That's
afternoon?
It's 40 push-ups. There's not a time limit. Oh, okay. You just
go till you can't.
Well, no, you go on a beat. Okay. Which is arguably the hardest part of it. So you're holding a plank basically, and then beep, go down. And I think it's 3 or 5 seconds apart. So you're not allowed to.
I can do 4.
You're not allowed to come down on your knees during that entire time.
Oh, good Lord. I can only do 2.
But you're able to go up to downward dog. So that's a little trick you
stretch
can do.
Stretch it out a little bit.
And then the sit-ups, I think, are however many sit-ups you can do in. It's either 1 minute or 2 minutes.
You know, that one depends on if somebody's holding a glass of tequila.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're going to ask if someone's holding your feet, no one's holding your feet.
No, if they're going to hold a glass of tequila, I can get up there.
So that fitness test was the Sunday we flew home.
And you were probably sore.
Oh, I mean, I was exhausted. I've put on makeup.
45.
That's weighing you down.
Exactly. My hair is fried off. I'm there's sand in my shoes from being on the beach. It was, an experience I'll never trade for the world, but one to remember.
One thing I can say as a dad to a competitive cheerleader and a dad to a high level motocross racer, both of them were in casts a lot of summers.
Yes.
Both of them were first name basis with our orthopedic surgeon. And Blake had a harder time with his makeup than Brittany.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
It's all hard work. It's hard work.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a fitness test.
Yes.
And then that's just day one?
I'm sure there were other things day one. You have a technique round where you do different skills. You have to come prepared, I think, with 3 dances that you learn by video, and then you're scored on those.
But you killed that part.
Yeah, absolutely. No. You're scored on execution, memory, and performance, I think. And then probably the most stressful part of auditions is the interview. It's a panel interview. Mm-hmm. You're with 4 other potential candidates. It's with all 3 of our staff. And then it's with any Colts staff. So that could be higher ups, marketing, communications.
Angela.
And players. Yeah, literally anyone.
It'd be great if it was Pat McAfee.
And they can ask you any questions.
I was going to ask, what kind of questions does a cheerleader get asked to show that she is good enough for this job?
Yes. So a lot of times you get asked about your resume, about, things you've done in the past. And then a lot of times it's just questions about what you would do on an appearance and, how.
Do they ask you football knowledge questions?
No, that is the one thing we don't need to know.
Interesting.
Because they always say, we can teach you that after you make the team. This year we did have a football test after we made the team.
Did they tell you to watch out for flying footballs when you're on the sideline?
So that is one very important thing. We are told that, as soon as the ball snaps, you have to be immediately facing the field. Because, that is it.
That's how you know what's going to happen.
A huge safety hazard. Yes. Not only flying balls, but flying
players?
Humans. Exactly. And they're not small.
Running fast,
not want to be caught. Exactly.
Technically still flying balls.
So they say, like, as soon as the ball snaps, you turn around and you are paying attention.
Yeah, okay. Well, now I'm going to pay more attention to you all on the sidelines.
Yes.
I love watching the reporters when they're not paying attention. And it's, whack,
I mean, you get nailed. And that tip of a
football hurts.
Yeah. I feel bad for the cameramen. They have no idea.
Over. No.
Yeah.
And then they're usually our age where hips are easily broken.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah that's just crazy.
All right. So how many days worth of tryouts is that?
I think it's about like five.
It's not consecutive though, right?
No, you have like a day off.
Yeah, because not a cheerleader combine you have to go to.
No,
sounded like day one was.
Well, they did kind of, with the 40 push-ups.
Yeah.
Lord.
But yes, so it's a few days. And then my rookie year, we normally have a showcase at Hilbert Circle Theater where it's like this big show. It's a big opening number. Everyone does small group dances. Everyone does an individual solo. There's, you know, like short little questions. So we normally do that. That didn't happen my rookie year, just scheduling wise. I think they weren't able to just make it happen that year. So it was a closed audition. So a little less stressful in that way. But then my second season, we had the showcase. So
It's,
this year was a little bit longer because we were preparing for the showcase. There's a few more things that go into it, but I think it was like about a week or so.
Okay. Make the team, go through all your, audition, rehearsals, things like that. You walk into Lucas Oil Stadium and there are 65,000 people. What is that? Kind of what are your first thoughts, I guess, as you walk in that day?
Yeah. So not my first time performing in Lucas Oil because I performed in high school when we went to state finals.
Mm-hmm. There weren't 65,000 people.
A lot less fans and it's 30, a lot more echoey when there aren't as many fans. And then I also danced there in college because we played a game there against Louisville.
Yep.
So, I was like, okay, like I've done this before. I know what to expect. Now we had two preseason games my rookie year, which are just a completely different atmosphere than regular season.
We call them worthless.
Yeah. They're like,
I give those tickets.
We do the exact same amount of things, but it's a good practice run for the home opener. So we had two preseason games.
Preseason for everybody.
Exactly. So, I was like, okay, this is fun. There's a lot of fans. This is awesome. Like the crowd's great. And then I remember a home opener. And I specifically remember it was a really long catch. I don't even think it was for a touchdown, but I remember I was in one of our coach's corners and he caught the ball. And I
apologize. This is your second year.
No, this is my.
I'm talking about this year right now is your second.
Second.
I'm trying to think of last year's opening day is when Richardson launched one to Alec Pierce.
Yes, I do believe it was Alec Pierce. Yes. And I think the roof was open or the window was open.
Yeah, I'm not
one of the two. Because it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So I just remember standing there and, we're supposed to be cheering. And I was like, oh, and I was just looking around. I was like, it is so loud in here. I was like, oh, my ears are ringing. I was just soaking it all. And I was like, it is so extremely loud in here. These fans are so excited to be here. And that was my aha moment. I was like, wow, there are 65,000 fans in this stadium that are cheering for the Colts. It was just such a surreal moment that I was wow, now this is amazing.
What point did you realize all of that noise was just coming from Clayton Anderson?
Right. And you're
that's awesome. Hi, Clayton. All right. So where else do I want to go with this?
I have a couple questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
So outside of games, you guys do a lot of appearances.
Yes.
And which is more fun, games or appearances?
What a tough question. Game days are obviously so fun because we dance so much. There's a lot of interacting with fans. And there's always special moments that you can have. But appearances are, equally as fun because there are a lot of times people that you wouldn't necessarily get to interact with on game days.
You get to see your former teacher at Back 9.
Exactly. That was my first appearance ever.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I was with one of my best friends and we were at an appearance at Back 9 and I saw Mr. Coleman.
I can hear
my big hat.
Mm-hmm. I can hear a friend going, Morgan, who's that creepy guy looking at you?
No, security's like,
do you
know
him? Math teacher.
This jackass with the big hat coming to talk to you, Morgan.
So, I think there's fun for different reasons. A lot of times, you do get to interact with those fans that don't always get to come to games or, haven't ever been to a game. So they're fun for different reasons. But yeah.
Okay, what type of requirement is there for you to do a certain number of appearances?
Yes. So there's different appearances that we can have. There is appearances that are through Colts specifically. And then there's appearances through other companies that just want us to show up.
So you have sponsors as cheerleaders,
right? Yes.
And you have to get approval to do events.
Yes. So
podcasts.
podcast.
So you're expected to hit a certain number of Colts hours. But other than that, there's no requirement. Everyone, you know, is either a full-time student or has a full-time job outside of that. So appearances are based off availability. You say if you're able to come or not. And then, you know, it's just assigned based on how many hours you
okay.
have.
Okay.
So you don't have to answer this question if you can't, and Brian can edit this out. But one of the questions...
Wait. Go.
Okay. One of the questions that a lot of people talk about and ask, and I've been asked this question, if I, like, I wouldn't have any idea. I have no idea. I have no way of knowing, but... Cheerleaders, what do they get paid?
Yeah. Like,
that's a one thing that I've heard, you know, nothing to $25 a game to $50,000 a year. I've heard all these different numbers. And then you watch this show where the Cowboy cheerleaders have a television show. They look like they are really getting taken care of and paid well. What's that like in cheerleading today?
What I can say is that I've always felt very fairly compensated for all the work that I do. We get paid for everything we do, from practices to game days to appearances. There's obviously a lot of perks that come with it, a lot of, you know, sponsorship opportunities that come with it. But at the same time, it is a part-time job. And, you know, for what I like to say is, most of my life I've been paying to dance. I've been paying to, you know, go to school to dance. Mm-hmm. I've been paying to dance at a studio. And now I am finally getting paid to dance. So, you know, obviously it's amazing. It's a part-time job though, but we do get paid for everything that we do.
That's like when I got paid to go to school and be a teacher.
Exactly. Yeah. This
is or perfect. When you get paid to do an announcing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like when we don't get paid at all to do
the show.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So are other teams like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, is that a whole different deal, or is it kind of the same, or do you have any idea?
I don't really know. You know, there's not a lot of opportunity to talk to other girls about that, but sure. I would assume that it's fairly the same. You know, obviously Dallas Cowboys have gotten a lot of publicity for the
big
past,
deal.
Yeah,
they're a big
past
deal.
Few years. So I'm sure that, you know, maybe
is there a Indianapolis Colts Netflix show coming soon?
You know, we always say that we should have one. I don't know if it would be the most drama filled, but it would be funny. It would be funny. It would be entertaining. Not the most drama filled, because
there's
there isn't
a lot
any
of
drama.
Girls.
And there is.
That really kind of, I mean, there's a lot of shows built around a lot of women that create a lot of drama.
You would think
sometimes
that, but
it's scripted.
You know, it's
sometimes it's scripted. Yeah, most of the time it's scripted.
For the most part, it's 27 of us living our best lives and getting along with each other, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're grown women and we can, you know.
I know a voiceover guy. If you ever going to do
right.
a show,
every Colts home game, I see picture of your parents as they're greeting you at the game,
yes,
heading inside.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the perks of your job is 2 tickets to each game, correct?
Yes, yep. And
that's
that
very cool.
My parents take those every time. It's really nice. A lot of times if girls' families aren't from in-state or, you know, travel further away, they'll be like, hey, like, have an extra ticket. Can anyone trade me? Like, my parents would love to come. You know, people are always willing to trade them and, you know, pass them around. So that's definitely one of the perks that my parents definitely
enjoy.
Does
that go for playoff tickets?
That's a great question.
I've
never had that opportunity.
Here's the next question. Does it go for
Super Bowl
tickets?
Super Bowl, I would imagine no, but I don't know.
My guess would be no.
My guess would be no. Because
my understanding of the Super Bowl, every player in the league gets 2 tickets. But, I mean, that's a lot.
Right.
Right?
It's not 75. It's not 85,000 people.
Depends where it is. But either way, my guess would be no for the Super Bowl.
My guess would be
yes for playoffs, because we still own
I agree.
That
because, like, season ticket holders get their tickets for playoffs. So.
Exactly.
But the cheerleaders get to go to the Super Bowl.
We do.
Yeah.
We would.
I was at a Super Bowl. And I watched the cheerleaders at Super Bowl.
Yes.
So,
yeah. I'm not sure on, like, how, because it's technically a neutral site, so it's not a home team or an away team, so I don't know. I think the rule is that, like, each cheer team gets a sideline, so you just get your home sideline.
Yeah,
but one is called a home team, one is called a visitor.
Yeah, that
is
true.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, at Lucas Oil, we're in all four corners. I don't think that's how it would be.
They were on each side.
Yes.
I watched the New York Giants play the New England Patriots.
But the Giants don't have cheerleaders.
You're right. The Patriots. We were on the Patriots side. So you're right. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know that's funny. Why do they not have cheerleaders?
You know,
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
You know, there's a few teams in the NFL that don't have cheerleaders, and for one reason or another.
You know, for New York, it's probably the creep factor.
That's probably it.
Patriots have one. Bills don't have them. much.
New York is just cold. Anti. Do the Jets?
I mean, but Patriots, no, Jets do.
That ruins the creep factor.
Green Bay does not.
There's no fans at Jets game.
Green Bay.
Green Bay does.
Everybody up there likes a lot of cheese, so that may be why.
Nah.
Let's get some hate mail going.
That's right.
Trying to think of other ones.
If you know what teams don't have cheerleaders, put it in the comments.
Chargers don't have cheerleaders? They used to.
I thought they did.
And then they abandoned. What about the Oakland Raiders? Well,
they do.
They're not even Oakland anymore. They're Vegas Raiders. The Raiderettes.
Yes.
What are you guys called?
Just Colts
Cheerleaders. Colts Cheerleaders.
Yeah. We don't have a fun name.
When you threw out Raiderettes, I was like,
I know.
Oh my.
Raiderettes, and then the Bengals Cheerleaders are called the Bengals.
Of course, kind of neat. Yeah.
So I've only worn cowboy boots once in my life.
Why?
They're like the most uncomfortable footwear I've ever put on in my life. You have to dance in them.
You bought bad cowboy boots.
Well, so in college, we danced in cowgirl boots.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Real cowgirl boots. And now we dance. They're like more dance boots. Okay. They're like more similar to like a jazz shoe.
Right.
So that's a little bit easier. In college, I love dancing in them. Huh. I'm a big fan of the boots. You know, I think it's one of those things where you suck it up and
do you get to keep a pair of the red stepper boots after you're done?
Yep. It's your senior year present. Oh, so
okay.
I was told the best shoes to wear are the ones that are most comfortable. Maybe since your boots didn't work, maybe you had cowgirl boots on. I think like this.
Because
good boots don't hurt your feet at all.
Well, either way, I'm not wearing them.
Maybe you need some Lucchese's.
All right. Now, not that that's the only reason, but there's a big reason you're here today, Morgan. You have absolutely blown up on social media. So we're going to back up. You in high school studied Spanish.
Yes.
How many years?
Well, I mean, what? We took it in high, or we took it in middle school.
Okay.
Too, right?
So really you had 3, 4, 5, 6 years ish.
Like, I don't even remember how many times, probably like 4 years.
Okay.
So.
Hola, right. Amiga. ¿Qué tal?
I have nothing to show for it.
That's right.
Like,
so,
nothing.
So then you go to IU.
Yeah.
And your major tells you that you need to have a foreign language.
Yes.
What was your choice?
It was American Sign Language. I was looking at all the options. Spanish was on there. You could, like, test out to be in a higher Spanish. And I was just like, oh, I don't know if that's for me. You know, again, I've learned it for 4 years and I don't have very much to show for it, so maybe I pivot and try a new one. So I saw.
Did you give any thought to, I'll just take Spanish 1 again because I already know it'll be an easy grade?
You know, I didn't, because I was like, I really like, I have no desire, you know.
Good for you.
So I was looking and I was like, oh, American Sign Language. I was like, that would be cool. Like, that would be fun. And you know, I knew that I wanted to be an occupational therapist at the time, and I was like, I could definitely see that, you know, aiding in my future career as an occupational therapist. So why not take a foreign language that could, you know, help me out in the future?
So, odd connection. My son, who's a year younger than you, maybe two, mm-hmm. either way, his first year at Cincinnati, he also had to take a foreign language, and he thought about sign language because prior to going to college, he was working at Bubba's and a deaf couple came in. And for whatever reason, you know, Will was communicating with them just on like probably a written level. Mm-hmm. He got this burr up his butt that he wanted to learn sign language.
Yeah.
So he started just watching videos online.
Yes.
That couple came in again that summer and Will in a partial way was able to do sign right. language with them. He was inspired. So
how amazing.
His first semester at Cincinnati, he did sign language specifically for foreign language.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed the class. I won't say that he loved it, but he definitely learned something.
Yeah.
It was probably maybe one of the most valuable classes that he took.
Yeah, very absolutely. Cool.
For you, it became a minor.
Yes, I enjoyed it so much. I don't remember what the specific requirement was for my foreign language. It might have been like 3 semesters, 4 semesters. Yeah. But I was like, I really like this. I was like, I think I should just make it a minor. And so I think that included like 6 semesters and then a few extra like cultures class and syntax class. And so it was actually, it's a pretty hard class to get in because it's a small group of students. It's a small group of students and it's a small class size and they don't have a ton of professors because all the professors are deaf. So it was like hard to get in your first class, but then once you're in it, it's okay. So I applied for the minor, was accepted, and then took it for the rest of my career in college and absolutely loved it. I loved all of my professors, got really close with a lot of the students in my class and really just fell in love with the language and in the way that it was taught and just the culture surrounding it. So absolutely loved it.
probably odd that you walk into your first class never having done sign language before, and the person teaching it is deaf and is just speaking sign language, right?
So our very first class had an interpreter.
Oh, okay.
So she was obviously signing and talking. But after that, like, I don't even think I knew that our professors were going to be deaf, honestly.
I wouldn't have thought
that. I would not have thought that at all.
No.
So,
that makes the class an extra challenge.
Yes. I was going to say, I walked in the classroom, but it was a Zoom, so I guess I opened up my computer and was surprised.
You're sitting there.
Right.
What is going on my speaker?
And then I was like, okay, we'll have an interpreter for the rest of the semester. And then she was like, okay, like, this is the only class I'll be interpreting. And I was like, Wait a second. I was like, I don't know any sign language.
How do you say I'm going to get an F in sign language?
Okay. I was like, well, this will be a learning experience for sure. Yeah. But it was just, I think, just absolutely the best way to learn a language. Like, I think it's similar to traveling abroad. Like, you're just immersed in it and you have no choice but to figure it out.
Right.
So whether it's writing it down, finger spelling, typing it out, you were figuring out a way to communicate with your professors and your peers. And I think that's one of the reasons why I picked it up pretty quickly.
Wow. Cool. So after you graduated from IU and prior to blowing up on social media this year, did you use sign language much since graduation?
So not a ton. My last semester in college, I was actually a paraprofessional at a school for a kiddo that was deaf and had Down syndrome. So I would travel with him to his classrooms and, you know, sign a little bit with him and, you know, help him communicate with his peers and his teachers as best as I could. So I used it a lot my last semester in college. And then my first season on the team, we have a big junior cheer program that is one of our major ways of connecting with youth and, you know, connecting with the younger generation. And our director of the junior cheer program came up to me and she's like, hey, she's like, we have, you know, a deaf junior cheerleader. I'm like, I'm going to put her in your squad as long as you feel comfortable with that. Like, I think this is a great opportunity for you to use your skills and for us to be inclusive and, you know, have her feel welcomed in our program. So I was able to use it a lot. That season with her, which was super special. And then my rookie season, I did meet one deaf fan at Touchdown Town, and he had come up to our table at Touchdown Town. And I was kind of towards the end, so he was talking to a few of our other teammates, and I'm like talking with someone else, and all of a sudden I'm here like, Morgan, like, he's deaf, he signs. And I was like, oh wait. And so I think it was crazy for him and it was crazy for me, because I don't think he ever expected to come up to the table and be able to, you know, use sign language with me. He was so excited. He FaceTimed his daughter and I was signing to her on FaceTime. So those were a few instances that I had been able to use my ASL, but not a ton, not on the regular.
You get like the good person, like not just the check mark. Like you get like the good person award. You're doing all of these great things and you're very impressive.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm checking your Instagram page right here.
So you're like a million views, right?
That's what I was going for.
It's a real.
And old man Quinlan can't see this. How many views are we looking at?
Okay.
Here, Morgan?
So the NFL posted a video of me interacting with a deaf fan. And it alone, just this video, has 8.2 million views.
And that's just Instagram.
And that's only the NFL pages. There's been countless other pages that have also posted it.
Okay.
Hey. What do you say?
Tell me thank you.
Hey, look. Here it is. ARK, Mark. Look, can pay attention.
I know, innocent.
Yeah.
We just moved here and he goes to the deaf school.
Oh. Yeah.
White school.
Yeah. Yeah. No, tell us your first time. Yeah, it is.
Your first time? He's going to be so much fun.
Yeah?
He gets excited when he sees other people signing.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, how did all of that kind of come about where you got to meet Mark?
Yes. So from my understanding, Mark's mom posted a video and was like, hey, Mark and I are coming to a Colts game. We would love if there was any way for Mark and I to get on the field. If there's any Colts staff out there that are watching that can help us make that happen, like, would love to. And someone from the Colts Impact team reached out, was like, hey, like, would love to provide you field passes for pregame. Would love to you to come down and, you know, have the chance to maybe meet some players, get some signatures during their practice. And she was like, wow, that's so great. Amazing. Sounds great. So I got a text maybe late the week of the game that was like, hey, like, double checking, like, you're a cheerleader, that you're one of our cheerleaders that knows sign language. Might have an opportunity for you to interact with a kiddo that's deaf before the game. And I was like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sign me up for whatever. And I didn't really hear a ton. And then we're normally put on appearances the morning of game day. That's just all over Lucas Oil Stadium. And I was on a field suite visit with him. So I was like, okay, perfect. Sounds great. And it's from my understanding that Mark and his mom didn't know that a cheerleader was going to come visit them until she got to the game. Hmm. So they were like, yeah, like, hang out here for a few minutes. And then, like, we're actually going to have a cheerleader come visit you. And she happens to know sign language. And so her mom was like, okay, great. And so then I walked out and, like, you could just immediately see that Mark was just so excited that someone knew sign language. And his mom just kept saying, like, he gets really shy when anyone knows sign language and when they start signing to him. So that was just, like, a really special moment, and obviously one that I will remember for the rest of my cheer career and in life.
Super cool. Have you stayed in touch with Mark and Mom?
Yes. It was just his birthday. Nice. So I was able to wish him a happy birthday. Yeah, we stay in touch anytime, you know, another video gets posted or something else happens. I had told her that I was signing the national anthem, and she was, of course, congratulating me.
We're going to get there, too.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the next conversation. Okay,
now, from that video, 8 million plus views on Instagram, YouTube, you know, whatever, all of that, right? You were in People Magazine?
Yes,
or at least
an
the
article.
Story appeared
yes.
in People Magazine. Yep. You weren't interviewed or anything
no.
like that. But here I am watching my social media, your face pops up, and you're talking to David Muir.
Yes.
Hi. Explain that one.
That one was extra crazy because I'm in school for occupational therapy, and I have class on Wednesdays from like 8 to 4 p.m. And so I get a text at like 3:30 from my coach, and she's like, hey, what are you doing? Do you have time for a call? Which is just like... It's the worst text to get from a coach because you never know what it's going to mean.
Off the team?
I know. I'm like, what did I do?
I signed with that kid and everything.
So I'm like, oh, yes. So I call her and she's like, I hope you're not busy because you have the chance to be on ABC's Nightly News with David Muir tonight. She's like, they need the video by like 5 p.m. tonight if you're able to. Oh. And she's like sending me all these parameters. She's like, it needs to be horizontal, include this, blah blah blah, say this. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, on my way home from school, I live like 30 minutes from campus, so I'm like driving home and I'm like, I can get it to you by 5:15. Okay, I go to school looking like a mess, so like my
Perfect.
Hair was horrible, my makeup was
here. And then
was
there
like,
was a get ready with me video.
Oh, yes. And so I'm like scrambling to get ready. I only curled like the front two pieces of my hair, and this was just like all you saw in the video. And then I'm like calling my mom, or like yelling at my mom. I'm like, Mom, like, what do I wear? Give me all my Colts things. Send pictures to my coach. Like, I gotta figure out what to wear. And then my coach is like, film it outside. So we have natural
film
lighting. So
yeah,
and,
lighting.
And then the cicadas are so loud. She's like, is there any way? I was like, I don't know. So that was like a crazy turnaround. That was like, I mean, the quickest I've ever gotten ready in my entire life. I was, you know, probably yelling
Worst
at my entire family.
Happy.
No, I was like, they're probably not super happy yet. At that time, I ended up filming it vertical, and then I sent it to my coach, and she was like, horizontal. I was like, no.
So you had to do it again?
So then, yes, I sent it to him, and then it was, I mean, maybe an hour and a half later, it was on TV.
You didn't get to talk to David, though.
No, okay. Just like his.
Yeah, producer asked you questions. Yeah. It seemed like he was asking you these questions.
That's freaking awesome.
But yeah, that one was especially crazy.
No kidding.
Let's talk about Germany.
Okay. So you're... Slowly, maybe not slowly. Are you now known as the Colts cheerleader that does sign language?
I am. You know, there have been a few appearances that I've been on where if it's a deaf individual or someone that knows sign language or someone that's seen the video, that's like, oh my gosh, you're the cheerleader that was signing with Lou. I'm like, yes, I was. And they're like, that was so special. I'm like, thank you, obviously. But yeah, it's been a little bit crazy.
All right. So I'm watching the Colts game Sunday in Germany. They don't show the national anthem, or at least not the part that I'm watching. But after the game, I'm looking at Facebook, and there you are, standing on the field, signing the national anthem. Had you ever done that before?
Nope. First time. First time. And that's a big game to do it for your first time.
No kidding.
So think, I think of the singers that sing the national anthem and how much preparation it takes.
Yes.
How afraid they are at doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
What was your preparation like?
Not very much preparation. Okay. I was at the airport leaving for Germany on Thursday. So we were there like Thursday morning. I get another amazing text from my coach. Hey, do you have time for a quick chat?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know where I am. I'm at the airport. So yeah, I have
time. You can't fire me now.
So I like walk away and she's like, so? She's like, I don't know if you know, but sometimes they have people sign the national anthem. She's like, they've asked if you'll sign it international game in Berlin. She's like, this is an amazing opportunity. And I was like, absolutely. She's like, have you ever done it before? I'm like, no. And she's like, well, good thing you have your plane ride. I'm like, absolutely, Kelly, I will be practicing.
So you practiced on the plane the whole time?
Yes, practiced on the plane the whole time. I kept having my best friend, Jess. I was like, can you sing it like different ways so that I'm able to like hold my signs longer? Right. Like, you know how some people, some singers add their little runs. Yeah. So I'm like, she's like pretending to do different runs.
So were there any deaf people on the plane that went, shh,
no, there weren't. You know, I'm surprised I didn't get. I should have gotten that, but no one. I'm sure my teammates sitting next to me were like, "Oh, can you like? I'm trying to sleep, but
don't just
keep elbowing me." But yes, so I practiced the whole flight over.
So you weren't on the Colts fancy plane?
No. We were flying.
You didn't practice to the Fergie version.
I practiced too. Let's see. I practiced Chris Stapleton, which I think is
one of the best
by far. I practiced to Beyonce because I figured she would add a little extra. And I practiced to Whitney Houston.
Of course.
All very good.
Good thing you didn't do the Fergie one. The Fergie one.
No, that one
really
probably
bad.
Wouldn't have been the best to practice.
So no Colts playing?
No. Funny story. We flew out of Indy, obviously, to have a layover in Atlanta, which was great considering we were playing Atlanta.
Yeah. The Falcons, yeah.
So we walk up to the gate after our Indy airport and we have like a 4-hour layover and there's like balloons and table spreads and water bottles and music playing and we're like, oh my gosh, like this is so fun. This is like a send off. And then we're like looking more, we're like, it's like red and black themed. So there's Falcon logos and like the flight attendants are like, yeah, it's like a going away party for the Falcons fans. We're like, okay, well, we're here.
Can I grab a sandwich?
So that was funny.
Flying back in for that layover was pretty cool.
That was a little bit better than on the way out. But yes, we were like, of course we have to have a layover in Atlanta of all places.
Did you get to see Germany?
Not that much.
Yeah. So airport of the stadium.
Right. I was like, I saw two places, Das Center, which was where like the big fan hub was, and the inside of the stadium.
You're welcome.
Since I got there on Friday and we left on Monday. So, you know, all entire Friday day and night, we had appearances and same thing Saturday and the game on Sunday.
I'm assuming they told you the historical significance of the stadium you were in.
Yes, absolutely. It was amazing. And it was actually from feeling it seemed smaller than Lucas Oil because it's so much wider because it can hold like a soccer field, obviously, so the field's a lot bigger, but it's actually like 10,000 more people than Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
But it's only two levels, so I think it seems it seems shorter that way, but I mean 10,000 more people was crazy when it was full.
I watched the game and I was frustrated when the guy called the field pitch.
Well, it happens.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's not, it's a field.
So what's next for you? Are there more, like, I don't know, sign language appearances that they have planned for you?
You know, I don't know. They seem to just keep coming. People will keep reaching out. There's more and more fans. I actually, like, I think I got more in Germany than I did in America that people had seen my video. There's a bunch of German fans, and they're like, we've seen y'all video.
So they probably blew that up there.
Yes.
We were the home team, but they also want to promote the game a lot. And so...
Right.
Anything Colts, I'm sure they were.
So they were like, we know your video with Mark, you're amazing. And I was like, oh, I can't believe it's gotten all the way over here. Like, that's crazy. So the fans over there were super excited. And, you know, the appearances just seem to keep coming.
Well, I have a prediction.
Okay.
You're having quite a year as a cheerleader. I don't know how the voting goes to which cheerleader they send to the Pro Bowl.
Oh.
But if they don't send you to the Pro Bowl,
she's the Pro Bowl cheerleader.
Screwing it up. And so my prediction is you're going to the Pro Bowl and they're going to ask you to sign the national anthem at the Pro Bowl.
That would be crazy. But majority of the time, Pro Bowl's dedicated to like a tenured captain.
Oh, I know.
No, I know. You're going to blow that
up. But
ain't
no cheerleader blowing up like you are.
Pro Bowl cheerleader. How do we vote for that?
I don't know.
It's voted on by the team.
Calling the team.
I'm canceling my tickets if it's not you.
Pat Maskey.
No, it's normally, you know, like just the cheerleader that emulates the most Colts cheer pride and is the best overall.
Well, the one that can speak to all people,
right?
That should be you.
Come on.
Yes, but at the same time, as I say that, like, this is amazing that this has gotten so much publicity. I also say, you know, like, we have these interactions with fans at every single game. You know, it's just not, it just doesn't happen to be filmed and doesn't happen to go viral.
Yeah. Helps people. She's pretty. She's worked hard and she's humble.
There we go. One other thing that you've done this year, maybe we can touch on a little bit. You went with other NFL cheerleaders to, I don't know, like a world tour or something last summer.
So they're military tours. So they happen at
the USO.
Yes. So that happens at the very end of the season. So a lot of times if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you're asked to go on military tours.
Ooh, Colts can go on that a lot.
I know. So
not this summer, baby.
We're like, this year, we're probably not going on very many military tours. So I think last year we sent pretty much our entire team. I think only about 3 girls weren't able to go because of like scheduling conflicts with their job or whatnot, on military tours to all over the world. I went to Bahrain.
Yeah.
Probably never heard of it. A tiny country.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Saudi Arabia.
So are you going along with some of the musicians that go to those areas too?
No. So we were just the entertainment for that. So we went with other NFL cheerleaders. So I went with a Tampa Bay Buccaneers cheerleader, an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader, and a Tennessee Titans cheerleader.
Yeah, very cool.
Do you perform or are you just there waving and
We do like a dance. We do a little, you know, meet and greet. So it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a highlight of the cheer career so far.
It's been quite a 2-year experience.
It has. I mean, the opportunity to travel now twice internationally with the Colts and for how well we're doing this season, it has been
even better.
An incredible 2 years.
So how many years can you do this?
Yeah, that's going to be my question.
You can do it as many as you want as long as you keep making the team. Yeah, you have to try out every year.
Do you? Okay.
And
do you ever get to a point where you don't? Like, you're in 5 years.
See you walking in next year going, sign language person.
Unfortunately, I wish you could feel that sense of of security, but no one does ever. It doesn't matter if you've been on the team for 1 year or 8 years, you have the same amount of chance of getting cut that season, which is terrifying.
That's the day the camaraderie all goes away.
Everybody
goes from the sweetheart right here to the mean girl.
Stressful month of my life. I feel sorry for that. For anyone that is close to me in that time and just like the emotional stress ball that I am during auditions.
All right. So a little personal question. I know there's a man in your life. Does he own a house?
He does.
Dang it!
Does he need to refinance? What's his interest rate?
He doesn't. Also, his mom is a realtor and his dad is a mortgage broker.
That's it.
Mm, that could be illegal.
You know what? We're canceling this episode.
He's set on that one.
That's okay.
Morgan was a person we were going to have on the show.
Yeah.
Today we talked about Martita Tequila.
All right, Morgan, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks amazing. For having me.
I got to say, you know, it's a special place in my heart for my former students who, you know, just have great success. And I love watching it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Keep being awesome.
I will try.
All right.
Thank you, Morgan.
Until next time on Indiana Success Happy Hour. Cheers.
It's Brian and Brad. Grab your seat. Real talk served with a boozy beat. Tune in, don't even blink. 'Cause real estate makes us drink.